Live's top four at four.
All right, here we go. Hour number two of The Drive underway. The top four at four brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles. Here's Jake Miller.
Number one, the Texas and Oklahoma news moving to the SEC has gained a lot of steam in the last 24 hours. As we talked about in the first hour, the move is basically official as of next week. Plan to send their letters to the Big 12 informing them they will not return.
They're giving the Big 12 the, it's not you, it's me.
It's not you, it's me.
It's beautiful. You think, when do you think they're going to officially, when do you think they're going to be in?
2 weeks.
Well, I know that.
July the 1st of 2022.
No, he's asking when are we going to have Texas and Oklahoma? Is it going to be next year, 2022?
It'd be July of either next year or the year after that.
Is the Big 12 said anything about, I can't remember, Trey sent it to me, that grant of something where they're going to try and get a huge chunk of cash out of Texas and Oklahoma on the way out the door?
Yeah, probably. Probably.
I mean, it's all monopoly money at this point, isn't it?
The buyout for each team is $76 million.
Texas can roll. They've got one of the largest.
Yeah, they might both be able to do that. And the SEC, they could probably work on fronting them some money. Or when like Rutgers and Maryland got into the Big Ten, remember, they didn't get their whole share of the TV money for the first several years of the deal. That was part of like their initiation fee, I guess. Was
it's like, we're going to front you the money, you pay us back.
I just don't see how you can do that with Texas and Oklahoma.
No, but there's some – you can get creative with the distribution aspect of it to make it feasible for everyone, including the – current 14 teams as well.
Hell, if I'm Texas and Oklahoma, I tell the Big 12 to get bit. I ain't paying you nothing.
I'd imagine some of this stuff will go to court, yes.
And number two, in his first interview since winning the NBA Finals, Giannis Antetokounmpo had an interesting statement. We might never win another one. It's fine. We did it. We did what we're supposed to do, and I'd rather do it this way. Win one this way than to go somewhere else with a super team and win two or three.
I love that.
Shot at LeBron.
And KD.
Yeah. It's and he's right, man. I mean, it's people like that. People like that. It might not – it's funny because LeBron especially, KD a little less so, is so worried about his image, so worried about likability, and – he would have been a legend if he had stayed in Cleveland, and they would have won more championships there. I totally believe that.
But he doesn't want to compete. That shows, man. With just about every single championship he's won. He just doesn't want to compete.
People are not going to look at him the same way they look at Jordan and Kobe and Larry and Magic and
now Giannis.
It's interesting. I mean, I don't get the sense that KD regrets anything that he's done, but maybe not so much for LeBron James, because he really should go down as one of the greatest players of all time, but there's going to be this weird mental asterisk that people see next to his name. It's like, yeah, but he went to Miami and L.A. and all this stuff. He was always
– he couldn't win without a super team.
He was always chasing the easiest route possible.
And number three – Antonio Gates Jr., son of San Diego Chargers legend Antonio Gates and four-star wide receiver in the 2022 class, has narrowed down his top five, with Tennessee being in that top five.
Does he play tight end?
He is a wide receiver.
Huh. Well, are we? What class is he? What year?
He's 22.
We're pretty much done at wide receiver from what I understand, right? We've got...
You make a spot for a kid like him, though, would you?
Yeah, you make a spot.
Why? Because he's Antonio Gates' son?
No, because he's – what is he again, Jake?
He's a four-star.
What are his other offers, his other top schools?
I do not know.
Well, I'm just – Tennessee is – they've got Squirrel White, you've got Cam Miller, and then you're going to Elik Iamanor, I think is his name. He's a Canadian prospect who apparently is a strong Tennessee lean, and then Caden Pope from Savannah, Tennessee is a strong. You're not going to take more than four receivers in this class, so they're in a position of getting choosy, it sounds like, over on Rocky Top.
And number four, the Cleveland Indians have announced they will officially change their name to the Cleveland Guardians. Y'all go ahead. I'm not getting on my high horse.
The woke folk won.
The Guardians?
The Guardians, and their logo is just as bad as the name.
The
I could bring a jar of shine down to the Fannerin Studios. We could get rip roaring drunk and come up with a better name than that. That's just dumb. The Guardian.
That's terrible.
I've got a lot of things that I could say about that, but
well, it's just it's sad, man. That
it's like, what are they going to do? They're going to go after the Chiefs. They're going to go after the Braves. They're going to go after the 10 college football teams that have.
Yes, they will, but. It's funny that – well, it's not funny. It's really sad, and it's an outrage, quite frankly, because you've got the Indians are basically – first of all, there's nothing wrong with the word Indian, okay?
No.
Nothing. People somehow got it in their head that, Columbus thought he was in India, and so he called them Indians, and it isn't that stupid, ha-ha. It's not true. I mean, people – need to learn their history. In 1492, there was no India. It was known as Hindustan. He referred to Columbus was an Italian, did not write or speak very good Spanish. So in his written accounts, he called the Indians una gente en Dios, which translates to a people in God. Pretty nice thing to call somebody.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's nothing wrong with the word Indians. This is just making guilty white liberals feel better about themselves, and
exactly
it's further
what it is.
And the sad thing is it's further reducing it's further erasing Indian culture from America. Haven't we done enough to these people? You come over here, you destroy 500 cultures, you commit a mass genocide, you basically wipe these people out, put them on the worst tracts of land you can find. Get them addicted to alcohol. Give them some casinos. And 100 years later, you say, hey, sorry, Indians. Tell you what we'll do. Make it up to you. We're going to change the name. We're going to change the nickname of a baseball team in Cleveland. We're all good now, right? Right?
Yeah.
I don't think they care at this point. I don't think we're everything's copacetic now with the Indians.
No, this is ridiculous.
I never understood the Cleveland. Like, I totally understood.
The Redskins.
Because, I mean, that's a slur. I mean, that's just no two ways about it. That was a racial slur. So, I mean, I didn't really think it was that big of a deal, but I get that. But the Cleveland Indians? I mean, I could even somewhat, maybe, you could convince me if they decided they needed to change their logo. But
it was a cool logo.
They did. And it wasn't enough. And there's a big lesson there for you. It's never enough. If you give an inch to the woke crowd, it's never enough.
Yeah.
They won't stop until you're fired, humiliated, disgraced, resigned, and completely canceled. So people got to start standing up to this nonsense because it's completely out of control. Thank you, Jake, that is the Top 4 at 4 brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles. Oh, man. If you haven't been to the dentist, folks, if you didn't go last year because of COVID and all that stuff, that's fine. It's whatever. I know there's a lot of you listening right now that have not been in a dentist chair in well over a year. And if that's you, you need to break the streak, folks. You need to get on over to Knoxville Smiles. They'll give you a good cleaning. They'll do the x-rays and stuff like that, let you know what's going on in your mouth, and get you set up there. If you have any teeth that need to be pulled, you got wisdom teeth that need to come out, got a restorative procedure, a filling, crown, bridge, something like that that needs to get set up, they'll do it all right there at Knoxville Smiles. It's not one of those, like I remember my old dentist, you go in there and get the cleaning, and then if you had something, he said, oh, yeah, well, you got to go to this guy to do that. No, they'll do it all right there. At Knoxville Smiles, it's kind of your one-stop shop for everything with your teeth. So check them out online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com or call 865-539-1776 to set up your appointment at Knoxville Smiles. Do we still have Phil?
Philly has not dropped a second time.
Philly, my man.
Let's get him on here.
Call back. We'll
no,
get
he's
you
here.
Oh, he is?
He's here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you said he dropped.
Hey.
What do you say?
Let's go to the phones. Phil, what's up?
What do you say, W?
Philly.
How you, Bear Bryant and Jack the Snake doing?
Doing well. Doing well, sir.
What happened to Rat Boy Hudson?
Rat Boy? Oh. Is that a Duke thing?
Yeah.
He was just, he was hanging out, and so we threw him on for the, I wasn't going to take him for the entire show. He's got stuff to do and everything, but.
Does he? Well, is he going to go out and wear some Duke attire around town?
Wow. Coming after my guy, the Lenoir City Bulldog.
I like Davey Hudson. He's got a realistic view of Tennessee football, but I despise Rat Boy and Duke. They're a hypocrisy of college basketball. I mean, everybody knows Kentucky cheats, but Duke cheats, and everybody says that they're pure white.
I think everybody says that. I think people kind of know the deal. And the thing that's obnoxious about it is the college basketball media establishment, the ESPN folks, Dickie V, Billis, no, obviously Billis, but you know, they just kind of, they give them a pass. It's do as we say, not as we do. It's okay for Duke. It's not okay for LSU.
Yeah, it's kind of like some of these cable channels now. You know, it's pretty cool, you know. But guys, y'all talking Notre Dame with your guest. Notre Dame's going to have to get in the conference because all these conferences are going to be playing these 10-game conference deals. How's Notre Dame going to be able to come up with a schedule to be able to qualify for the dang playoffs?
Yeah.
That's an interesting point, Phil, because I forgot I wanted to ask you your thoughts on this, Russ. I'm not so sure that a 10-game schedule in conference is totally out of the question, especially if we go to a 16-team playoff.
No, it's nothing's off the table here, but nobody can hold a gun to Notre Dame's head and make them join a conference. They're going to do what they want to do. And
oh, but they may eventually have to, though, W, because
why?
There's going to be four big leagues when it's over, and Notre Dame won't be in one of them. Who the hell are they going to play? Nobody, and all these other conferences will freeze them out.
Will they? I mean, if you're the ACC and you've got a chance to schedule five or six games with Notre Dame, and Notre Dame's coming to Clemson, coming to Duke, coming to NC State, wherever – I mean, those member schools are going to jump at that. They hold all the cards.
They might jump at, but the ACC is going. All these guys are going to expand to bigger conferences. I still see how Notre Dame joins they ought to join the ACC. It's a weak conference outside of Clemson.
I mean,
they're already in basketball.
I 100% agree, and I think for just college sports harmony, it would be the best thing for them to join a conference. But in my opinion, it'd be the Big Ten. I think they're more of a cultural fit up there. But ACC, whatever, it doesn't matter. I just don't think it's going to happen, Phil, because I don't think they want to do it. They value their independence, and there's no good financial incentive for them to do it unless the conferences freeze them out, which I don't see happening.
Well, you know, Clemson has got a SEC-type pedigree, but they're smart. They're not going to get an SEC because they would have two or three losses on their resume if they got in the SEC.
Yeah.
Dabo Skiert.
And you look at it, we're going to get Alabama. It's going to be like the old SEC outside of LSU, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss. So what's going to happen? It'll be the old SEC against the new SEC.
But one of the things I want to explore, don't hang up on me, Bear, is why do we have to have divisions at all? Why do we have to have pods? Why do we have to – let's just have a 16-team league and rotate opponents, mix it up every single year, and move forward that way.
I mean, they may well do that, but if you're looking at pods, I'm telling you right now, it's going to be Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt. It'll be Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, and Kentucky, and then, you know, over in the West, we'll have Mississippi State, Ole Miss. probably LSU.
Yeah, I mean, we've already
over there.
I
just think that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, but the good thing is if Alabama comes to the East, though, all these guys like Georgia and Florida have been dodging Alabama for years. They'll have to play them every damn year. I mean, we still got to play them. We played them forever. But all honesty, it's going to even play in the field for us to be second or third in the East till Saban dies.
Well, and that might be good enough to get into a 16-team national playoff, which
exactly.
is that's going to become the new goal. And all of this is just making that field of 16 at the end of the season. And the glory of chasing a 12-0 perfect season, I don't think that's going to matter much, Phil. It's going to be, can you win enough games to get in, and are you peaking at the right time?
At the right time, yeah. And I think the SEC will get 7 or 8 of that 16, realistically, because it's a more superior league if you evaluate it right.
Well, that's why, I mean – the only valuable team I see left over at this point is Oklahoma State. And some people were making fun of me on Twitter for overvaluing them or being Mike Gundy's agent or something. But who else out there left in the Big 12 right now is capable of making a 16-team playoff? Maybe Iowa State?
I was going to say that'd be it.
So,
well, if Oklahoma State went to the SEC, they'd never get a playoff. They'd be in the West with all that, and there's no way they could compete.
I mean – The Pac-12 makes a lot of sense for them, Phil. Kansas has some value just because of the prestige of their basketball program. I could see the Big Ten. I could see why they want to pursue that. Iowa State, if I'm them, I want to get into the Big Ten. But if you're the Big Ten, I don't know, man. Is Matt Campbell going to stay there forever? That just seems like, yeah, they're good right now, but is that going to last? And
yeah.
If we take them now, does that turn into 10, 15 years down the line? That's just another school eating up $50 million of TV money that could be dispersed elsewhere.
Well, that's the only reason why these guys are coming in here is TV money. And, I mean, Texas is the second most populous state in America in the TV markets and all. I mean, good Lord, it's easy to see. And Texas and Oklahoma got a lot of oil money, and they can buy football players. Or basketball players won.
Hey, we got oil money.
Yeah. Speaking of basketball players, it looks like Collector's going to have a good recruiting year, don't?
I mean, yeah. I've just got it. That's what it is now, man. You look at these guys that they're in on, and they're players that it sounds like we're slow playing and might even turn down that we would have salivated over the prospect of signing 2 years ago. So,
or do like Alabama does in football, just sort them out if you have to. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, yeah, we're already doing that. Have been for a couple of years. So,
do you think your Rose and the Conwell be on the team the following year after this year?
Yeah, good question. I don't know. I mean, if they can't find enough minutes, I don't know that those guys ever have a path to starters' minutes here. And it's just – are you content being a role player at Tennessee, or do you want to start and shine and be a part of a program? Probably going to have to go somewhere else to do that if you're those guys.
Yeah. I understand Bird might have some information about B.J. Edwards. I'll just hang up and listen. See.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he was B.J. Edwards from Knox Catholic. Russell has been nominated for National Player of the Year, USA Today.
How about that?
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's on a whole nother level.
So he's like on a preseason watch list heading into his senior year for that?
Yeah, but I kind of feel like you're trying to downplay it a little bit. Right?
No, I'm asking because obviously their season hasn't started yet.
He's on all the watch lists.
Very cool.
He'll probably end up getting bumped up to a 5-star, I think.
Are you and Phil going to be in the Butch Bowl a week from tonight when the Red Rebels invade for a key old school East Tennessee high school football scrimmage?
I don't know about Phil. I will not. I don't watch scrimmages.
You will not be at the Butch Bowl.
I will not be at Dorman Blaine Stadium. No, Russ, I won't. You're pissing people off with that Butch Bowl stuff. I'm just telling you.
No, I'm not. It's hilarious. People
love
it.
Yeah, you are. No.
Oh, you're a handful of Catholic buddies. The fact that they're pissed off, it only makes it better. It's beautiful. Jake, is calling Catholic Stadium the Butch Bowl not the funniest damn thing in the history of the world?
I love it.
Thank you.
Can I cut your mic off, Jake?
Thank you.
Cut your mic off.
That's inexcusable.
I'll be back in Knoxville in a couple hours. I'll cut you off. It's going to be fun seeing your West Side of Rabbles playing us in basketball. I'm sure you don't want to put some money on the game.
I mean,
you're scared?
Your basketball team is professional wrestling, but that's cool, man.
You've got two BMAs Elite players. Let's get Russell Bivens, kid.
We'll worry about basketball when it gets to basketball. You guys focus on protecting the Butch Bowl. Nick is next. Hello, Nick.
What do you say, boys? This is a frequent listener, sometimes caller, Nick.
Hey, man.
I'm honored to follow Phil. I think he's one of the few guys in Knoxville who's had more beers this afternoon than I have already.
Oh,
Hall of Fame caller.
We drank
Hall
beer. I liked beer. Still like beer.
I'm calling in now. I'm usually one of those guys who catches the show like an hour late or so, or a couple hours late. So I start on the podcast, and I just wanted to get a shot in at Jake while I'm on it. The podcast from hour one is from like 3 days ago.
What are you doing, man?
Is it really?
What are you doing, Miller?
One job.
Yeah, one job.
It's Josh Heupel's. Whenever Josh Heupel spoke at SEC Media Days, it's that day.
It's like 3 days ago, Miller. What's the first thing we told you out there in the office?
The drive, hour one, 7:23:21. That's what I drug over.
That's correct.
We will. We'll get it fixed for you. Thank you for bringing that.
Right.
Thank you for calling everybody's attention to Jake's screw up live on the air. This is the way you get things done, Nick.
I'm not done yet.
Oh boy.
I've been listening, you know, like I said, I listen about every day. I call in, you know, a few times a year, but what I've been hearing a lot lately is people calling in and, you know, talking about, I know what Bear's been going through, and I acknowledge the importance of all that. And, I appreciate everyone calling in to give him his well wishes, but I know that Bear doesn't like it when people treat him too nicely. So I just wanted to call in and tell Bear to go to hell today. And that's all I got
for you,
boys.
I appreciate it. Nick, hell of a caller.
Oh,
hell of a caller. I hope he calls back again soon. I like that guy. Got a good motor on it. That's what I'm talking about.
We're going to take a quick break. We got ZR on hold. We'll let him sing Pick a Little for us when we come back. Couple lines available if you want to jump on, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. More of your phone calls coming up.
The Drive.
Like it or not, social media is here to stay. Your business. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell and Bear back with you. Jake Miller, we have gone to the tape. I think Nick owes you an apology.
I'll take it via Twitter.
There's nothing wrong with the podcast, Nick. I've checked, he's checked, multiple people have checked and confirmed the podcast is A-OK. Problems on your end. We love you. We love you, but you came in a little hot. You came in guns a-blazing at the new guy. And quite frankly, it was unwarranted. 865-546-8200 if you want to chime in this afternoon on the show. Keep things rolling this afternoon. ZR is next. Hello, ZR. Try that again. ZR is next. ZR, are you with us? Bear, are you with us?
Yes.
Jamie? Looks like we've lost ZR. ZR, call back. That's what I get for front selling a ZR phone call. He's not actually there. It's on me. All right, let's get Jamie in here. Jamie, you're on the Drive Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Russ.
What's up?
Oh, not much. Just had my first grandbaby today. No big deal.
What?
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Papa.
Thanks, man. Feels great.
Papa Jamie, tell us a story, Papa Jamie.
You'll be able to tell. You'll be able to tell a grandbaby about what it was like when Tennessee ruled the world.
I will. I'm all about Pearl.
You got that right, Bear. Back when we were able to win a tournament game or two. Little 9.1 pounds. Little Miss Ansley. Ansley Payton.
Not much. Oh, we get Ansley Payton, huh?
Fantastic.
Yep.
All right. Very good. I like it. Congratulations, man.
Hey, thanks, guys. Guys, y'all remember that really good food restaurant that used to be in town here? I actually used to work there called Grady's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Grady's Good Times Grill.
Good spot. It's guys, where P.F. Chang's is now, right?
Yes, it was. Yes, it is. Some of the best food around, man. Guys, that place doesn't exist anymore, and I'll tell you why. Corporate came in, bought it out, and, you know, then you get the bean counters that like to tell you you can save 18 cents on every salad if you don't put the garlic cheese toast on it.
Mm.
You know, that makes 50 grand a year.
That garlic cheese toast is incredible.
So, yeah. You know, maybe if we don't make our gravy in-house and just get it from the store, you know, we'll save some money. Of course, they don't consider in that, you know, people coming into Grady's and be like, well, I don't want to eat here again. You know, I don't want to eat here anymore if it's going to be like Shoney's. So this is, I equate that to what's going on in the conference. Same thing NASCAR did. This is ridiculous. It doesn't even consider the other teams in the conference. Anybody that voted for this, I don't get it. It just reduces your chances of ever winning anything. It doesn't make any sense to me. Is it just all about money? I mean, you're going to lose. You're going to lose more money in the long run than you're going to make because people are going to stop caring, stop going to games. You know what's the? It's like the good mayor said. You just put two more losses on Tennessee's schedule. That's all that's done.
You're referring to the charter system with NASCAR, aren't you?
I'm not that big of a NASCAR fan, Jake. I remember they were talking. You couldn't buy a ticket to the Bristol race, you know, 20 years ago, and then there was a time that they just couldn't give away tickets.
I like your restaurant analogy better. Bear, you're a big, you're all for this. You said you're fired up about it. You love this conference expansion. What do you say to Jamie's criticism?
I think that, Jamie, what you got to look at it is instead of having to win the SEC to possibly get a slot in the playoffs now, that's out the window. You can lose a couple of games and make the playoffs. So, you just got to keep in mind, it's like Russ said, Tennessee's biggest issue is our horrible hires we've made. If we could, you know, if Heupel works out, which we don't know if he is or if he isn't, give him a fair shake. But if he is the real deal, this thing will fix itself fairly quickly. I mean, look how quickly Tennessee baseball went from being out in the wasteland. So we made the right hire. And 4 years later, and you know that's not even counting the fact that his third year was a COVID year. We've got the hottest program in college baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So just try and look at it glass half full instead of half empty. I know you're sometimes prone to being a gloomy Gus.
Well, you know I do. I do respect your opinion, man. I can see where you're coming from on that. I just, you know, we'll eat our own. You know, two losses might get us in, but if, you know, USC is, you know, 11-0, that we ain't bumping them out at 9-2.
But if
I mean,
if there are 16, if they go 16, I think they're going to go to 16 now.
I can see that.
If that happened, Butch Jones finished in the top 25 twice in 2015 and 2016. Okay,
yeah.
And that 2016 or Yeah, the 2016 season was when he blew it at the end. You know, if you have a competent coach, it just shows you how close you were to being a top 15 team. So a competently coached Tennessee team in 2016 goes to a 16-team playoff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know that we're that far away. I think it's possible here.
I got you. I didn't realize that 16-team playoff was being bannered about. I mean, does that mean they've actually approved the 18 playoff?
Well, no. It's 12 is what they were looking at. 12 is okay. They're studying a 12-team playoff proposal, but we haven't heard a word about that since all this stuff broke. And I just wonder if they don't go back and relook at it, because they're going to have to relook at these TV deals anyway as all these conferences expand and realign. So I wonder if you don't get out to 16. But even if it does stay at 12, you know, you're going to have to be a top 10 caliber football team. But we're just going to have to get out of the mode of thinking of 12-0 is the ultimate goal.
I got you.
Even when Saban retires, I don't think that's a realistic goal for anybody in this new conference they're setting up. But 10-2 should get you in to a 12-team playoff.
Okay, I can see that. I think going 10-2 now is going to be as hard as going 12-0.
You got to figure, Jamie. Most years, if you're in the SEC and you're at 10-2 at the end of the season, there down towards the beginning of December, more than likely, you're in the top 15.
How about this, guys? Look at it this way. We're not trying to be what Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State have been. That's unrealistic anymore, and especially now. But you can get to where Florida and Texas A&M were last year.
And Oklahoma.
Yeah, which is they would have been in this playoff. That's attainable for Tennessee. It's a long ways off. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we still got to fix ourselves, but
but it is in the ballpark.
I think so.
Yeah, I'm with you. Russ,
that the recruiting will also once this goes into effect, and let's say it is a 16-team playoff, that they're not going to have your Clemson, like you said, Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, the usual suspects. They aren't going to have that recruiting advantage, because it's not going to be a 14 playoff. So you're not going to have all these kids thinking the only way they're going to make the playoff is if they sign with Clemson, Ohio State, or Alabama. I mean, Alabama's still going to get theirs because they're going to straight buy it. That's what they've always done.
I can see us being able to get into those demographics. I just don't think we're going to be able to pull anybody out of Texas or Oklahoma anymore. But I'm trying to look at the bright side, guys. I think if they do open up the playoffs a little bit, we may have a shot at getting in. I don't know if it's just our bad hires, though, Russ, or just our overall commitment to winning. Because Texas ain't going to – they were trying to hire a coach out from underneath theirs again. And that's all about commitment to winning. So, if we ever get that back, I have all the confidence in the world we can make it back. We just got to get out of our own way. But, guys, I got to get out of here. I got a little granddad baby to go meet.
Hey, y'all hang in there, man. Sounds good. Thank you, Jamie.
Congrats, dude.
While we're lifting people up here about this and looking at this positively, check this out, Bear.
I love it when you lift people up, Russ.
I did. Let me just get on these big, broad shoulders. Did a little research today.
We do our research. Have you done your research?
Tennessee had three players today tabbed to the 2021 preseason All-SEC team as SEC Media Days wraps up. And Cade Mays was first team.
Awesome.
So he joins punter Paxton Brooks, who was second team, and senior defensive back Alante Taylor, who was chosen third team. And good for those guys. We were picked to finish fourth in the East behind
Georgia, Florida,
Kentucky, and I want to say Mizzou. Or maybe we were behind Kentucky. Anyway, we're not in great shape. And three players on the All-SEC team. So I was thinking, like, how far do we have to go talent-wise? And I decided to take a walk back in time. 20 years ago, the 2001 team. 20 years ago this week, the 2001 preseason All-SEC team came out. Tennessee was picked to finish second in the East. We won the division, as it turned out. That was the 9-11, the Florida game that year. And Tennessee, how many guys do you think we had on the preseason all-SEC team that year, Bear?
Four.
It's seven. It's seven. You had Casey Clawson, John Henderson, Will Overstreet. We're all first-teamers, three first-teamers. You had Fred Weary, Alex Walls, Dominic Stevenson, and Andre Lott on the second team. Pretty loaded back then. Pretty
Jabari loaded. Greer wasn't on that list?
No, I think he
– Witten?
I think he came a little bit the next year. No, Witten wasn't on there. He was on the 2002 first team. I went and looked at that too. So we had seven guys. We got three guys this year. So, like – You gotta go out and recruit. You gotta get some players. How many classes will it take you to get five to seven guys on the All SEC team as opposed to three? I don't know. At least two, I would say. More likely three or four. But again, that's not the goal.
Transferred out.
That's a good question. That's a good question. Toe would have been on some list. Maybe Eric Gray. So. Yeah, that's a good point. So you got to go out there and recruit and get back that way. But I kind of thought when I was Googling that, it's like, oh man, that 2001 team, they probably had like 10 guys on there. It was seven. That's a lot, but we just got to get back to that 9-3 level in this new world of college football. That team went what? 11-1, 10-1, 11-1, whatever it was. And as nice as that would be, that's not what it's going to be required, because this is about to become a playoff-centric sport. And the playoff right now is this weird thing that's up on a pedestal that's just completely out of reach for teams like Tennessee and even a team like, say, Oklahoma State or plenty of good teams that will be capable of reaching a 16-team playoff. And so – and that's going to take some time, I think, for everybody's mindset to change. But I think that's what's going to happen over the next 5 years or so, is we're going to go from, oh, man, we can only lose a game or so, maybe two, because we have to get to our conference championship game to have any shot of making the college football playoff. And that's not going to be the case. That's what the playoff opponents have been railing against, is, oh, well, this is going to devalue the regular season. And it's not, man. It's not. It's gonna make more value for it, because all these teams are going to be scrambling to make it at the end, whereas nobody's been watching these games in November. And now everybody's going to be watching them. I think it's a smart move for the sport. I don't know if it's great for Tennessee. I don't know. Time will tell. But you see why the suits are doing it.
Going back to what you said about Tennessee's biggest problem is just self-inflicted. So I also hope that hopefully with this, and when you're pushing for the playoffs, hopefully this will eliminate the, Georgia playing Gardner Webb in November, Tennessee playing Tennessee Tech.
Oh, man, I hope so. Yeah.
Because you're not going to be able to afford to play some bye game when you're trying to impress the playoff committee in November.
That's one of the points Davey Hudson was making earlier when you were yelling at him.
Well, see, I mean, you keep going back to that, dude. You sprung him on me. I don't like change or anything out of the ordinary. I had no idea he's going to be on. And, had a blistering headache. And Davey sometimes has that younger brother vibe to me. And there's times where I just want to punch Davey in the face.
Oh!
And this was one of those days. I've talked about it with Houston Press extensively. He agreed with me. So, I mean, you sprung Davey on me. Kind of got in a bad mood real quick and had a headache. And you get what you get. And he interrupted me a couple of times. So, I don't know. I love Davey. I took a bullet for him. Fan-run brother.
You would just assault him if you saw him, though.
Yeah, there's times. I mean, like I said, I've assaulted my younger brother. Called the cops on me a couple of times. But, yeah, Davey kind of brings that out. He's got a younger brother vibe. Do you not see that? I mean, you're an older brother.
No, I love my brothers.
I love my brother. I love both my brothers. And I love Davey.
Call me crazy. I don't know. I don't make it a habit of
your younger brothers would have beat your ass.
I don't make it a habit of fighting family people. I don't know. Maybe I'm the weird one though.
I don't blame you. Like I said, your brothers are physical specimens, and you never had the makings of a varsity athlete.
Let's try ZR again. ZR, are you with us?
What's going on?
Hey, ZR, how are you, sir?
Doing well. You know, we really haven't hired any awful coaches. I mean, we hired Derek Foley, Botch Jones, Jeremy Pruitt, and this Josh dude. I mean, we haven't hired any awful coaches. We've hired pathetic coaches throughout the years.
Wait a minute, ZR. Wait a minute. You can't just go ahead and lump Heupel in with Dooley, Botch, and Pruitt. You can't do that yet. You don't know if he's...
Nobody's ever heard of him.
He won a national championship.
Botch Jones. Nobody ever heard of Botch Jones either.
That's not true.
Patently false, ZR. I love you, but you're wrong. Heupel has got the best resume out of all three.
He's been a household name in college football for 20 years.
How much has he won?
He won a national championship.
Where?
Oklahoma.
Then he coached Sam Bradford to a Heisman Trophy.
Won a Heisman Trophy himself, didn't he?
He was second.
Oh.
Which is nothing to sneeze at.
No?
He probably should have won it that year.
I mean, it's just kind of like Peyton Manning should have won it his year, too. You know, I'm not looking forward to football. We're going to get trounced. And we had two more teams in our conference. We're just going to lose two more games. Would you agree with that?
No.
No.
Really?
Why are you in your feelings like this, ZR? You bring me down, buddy.
I'm ready for basketball. It's time for basketball to come out, do things. I hate football.
You're right.
They've destroyed the football program over there.
What's the
FAH and his damn people have done it.
We should just go ahead and...
We all live in a yellow hog marine. A yellow hog marine. We all live in a yellow hog marine. A yellow hog marine. 62-37 is the score the sheep forget. 9-2 is sheep of green in our little hog marine. FAA fast hog. Oh, my God!
An incredible song, ZR.
That was beautiful.
He's up there with the greats, Lennon and McCartney, the Gallagher brothers, Roger Waters, David Gilmour.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is he done? I was just in the back fashioning a noose after that phone call.
He hung up the phone.
Wow. Okay.
Exit stage left.
Good grief. I mean, he makes Jamie seem like Norman Vincent Peale.
And he's a little negative out there at the tank this afternoon.
Good Lord. I mean, listen, I'm not cheaping it up for Heupel, man. I'm just not. He kind of reminds me of grown-up Bobby Hill, if we're being honest about it.
Hey, and we're getting his dad's favorite team in the conference.
But I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know how he's going to do here. None of us know. And that's kind of exciting, the element of the unknown, man. It's like we're going up the hill on that roller coaster. What's going to happen? I don't know. Just hold on and find out.
Would you agree that he's more accomplished than the last three guys?
Well, the last guy had no head coaching experience. So, yeah, I mean, like, nobody could argue that. And
well, I mean, neither did Dooley. I guess he did.
There's some similarities to Butch and Dooley. Dooley was a head coach 3 years. Heupel's a head coach 3 years. Butch just followed a guy who had done really well. Heupel did that too.
Yeah, but none of these guys were ever known as, I mean, I guess maybe Gump. But I discount that because he was at Alabama to save him. But, I mean, he's got a proven track record of developing quarterbacks and has a proven offense, a high-powered offense that he ran everywhere he's been. I don't know. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Well, I mean, I don't know. That's the key phrase. And it's unfair, I think, to lump him in with the other three. You got to let him stand and or fall on his own. We're going to find out. If he falls, then by all means, go ahead and lump him in. But if he doesn't, you're going to sound foolish when we look back on this audio in 5 or 6 years. Quick timeout. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Businesses. Grab a call from Westchester. Wrapping up hour number two of the show. Good afternoon, Westchester.
Gentlemen, thanks for squeezing me in. I'll speak for two of the three of you. None of y'all are conference first guys. You don't cheer for Alabama when they're playing somebody else in football. And that's not y'all's style, right?
No.
Add me to the list, too.
All right, so then why in God's name do we ever want to expand the SEC when you can't, adding two teams can't produce enough revenue for every team to make more money? So the conference makes more money and the team loses. So by your logic of not supporting the conference when they play other teams, then you can't be for the expansion either, can you?
Sure.
Well,
but it doesn't.
You said it's not going to make the teams more money?
Correct.
No, it's not correct. They wouldn't be doing this. They can vote this down. If it weren't going to be making everybody more money, you would have multiple schools jumping on Texas A&M's side to block it.
I mean, just sit down and do the math for yourself. It's not. It's a substantial amount of money that these two schools have to bring to the pot because you're adding two more to the disbursement. No, Bear, it's 70. It's 70 plus million a piece they got to bring, and each school
they're pulling up to the conference in a dump truck, both of them filled with cash. These are two of the most recognized brands in all of college sports, dude. They wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to pretend to know the exact numbers, all the economics of it, but a basic common sense will tell you that Greg Sankey and these schools wouldn't be doing this if they didn't think it was lucrative.
It's lucrative for the conference, not for the schools, and that's
conference is the schools.
Sankey's concerned.
I don't understand. The conference is, what do you think the conference is? The conference is the schools. It's just a mechanism to distribute money to the schools.
Right, but if you're going to add two more teams to that disbursement, then those two have to bring enough to carry their own weight.
I understand what you're saying, and clearly they do. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing it. That's what I'm telling you.
I mean, we're not adding to Iowa State. We're adding Oklahoma and Texas.
It has no geographic ties, no any ties. It's all about a money grab.
Yes.
I mean, it didn't really work out that well when we grabbed Missouri, did it?
Yeah, I mean, they've got – go look at the TV money they were getting in the 2000s and the TV money they're getting now. It went from like $15 to $20 million a year to over $30. They basically doubled their money.
Get to St. Louis and into Chicago market.
I don't know. I read some numbers earlier and it didn't seem very possible. But I know that TV deals get
you might
more
be
lucrative
right.
Every
Listen,
year.
Westchester, so. You might be right. My suggestion would be call Greg Sankey, call Danny White, and let them know that they're making a big mistake. They wouldn't be doing this if it. The only reason they're doing this is for more money. The only reason.
So you think Sankey cares about the teams as much as he does the conference overall?
The teams are the conference. I don't get this. The distinction you're making. I mean, that's what.
Yeah.
That's what they're there
jumping
for.
Jumping in now, he's going to position the SEC.
Greg Sankey does what
first.
The schools tell him to do. He's there to represent their interest. Westchester, thanks, man. Have a great weekend. We got to run hour number three of The Drive coming up. More Fan Run Radio on the way.